Excuse me, the recording has now started. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, welcome everybody to what hopefully will be our last meeting. Not that it hasn't been fun, but I think have made some real good progress, and I appreciate the great cooperation of everybody that's worked on this. The agenda I sent around some time ago, and it's posted on the wiki as well as some links there, including the link to the latest document with comments from the original submitters. Before we actually get started, Liz, did any late comments come in?
No, nothing after the summary that I posted.
Thank you. I didn't think they had. I was sure I would have seen them, but thought I'd ask anyway. So we have what was sent in. I think it was a pretty good response, actually.
Yeah, not bad.
So we were missing responses from, what, two or three?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I think it was three different studies.
Okay. Well, is there any suggested changes to the agenda? I think, I don't know that we need to do a roll call. Glenn, I think, kind of went through that. Tim joined after she did that. Tim, I guess maybe for Tim's information, Steve Del Bianco's on, Alan's on, Lee's on, David Maher, Liz, both Steve's are on, I should have said, Del Bianco and Metallic, and Glenn and myself. So let's go ahead and move forward here. The first item then, we did some alternative wording in our last meeting 2 weeks ago. We have alternative wording from four of the submitters. All the others that responded were fine with what we did in terms of the hypotheses we proposed. There are three studies, study 8, study 13, and study 16, where alternative wording was proposed. So my suggestion is we go right to that, and you're ready for that, right, Liz?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So if we go to study to area area 2, and study 16, Claude said a change, and let's start off with that. We had two hypotheses there, as you can see. Registrars do not have a uniform method of disclosing or obtaining consent for collection of data for WHOIS purposes. And the second one, the methods employed by registrars to disclose and obtain consent have not been adjudicated as violating national law. And we provided a link there. The Claudio restatement, you can see it there, it's kind of lengthy. Is it fair to assume that everyone has read that? Now, part of it is just his justification. But what's the thinking? He actually broke it up into four hypotheses, and then provided supporting rationale. Let me just open it up for discussion. If anybody wants me to go ahead and read those four, I can. Not hearing anybody say that, I'll just leave it to everyone on that.
This is Steve Metallic. I'm fine with the change he suggests to B, which is to change adjudicated as violating national law to adjudicated with regard to their consistency with national law. But I think on C and D, I think we made a conscious decision that factual studies that the council asked us to look at didn't include legal analysis of the type that Claudio is suggesting here. And I think if you just look at C and D, you can see how hypothetical this gets to be. Not only what an adjudicator would decide, but also whether there would be ways to fix any problem they identify. So I just think that's way ahead of where we should be in terms of factual study. So I would not support C and D.
Okay.
This is David. I agree with that.
Okay.
This is Tim. I agree with that as well.
Anybody disagree with that? It sounds like a pretty solid basis for what Steve is suggesting. And it's consistent, like he said, with what we decided before. Anybody disagree with that? So in other words, we'll make the change in number two. We don't need to call them A and B. We can just leave them the way we have them, but make the change in our second one, correct? You have that, Liz?
Right.
And okay. Then...
Good day.
Go ahead, Tim. Did you want to say something?
No, I'm sorry. I was just wishing my wife a good day. She's
okay. Well, wish her a good day for us.
For us, all of us.
Try to remember mute.
Not a problem.
So we're deleting C and D and leaving A and B?
Yeah, except you can just leave what we had there and make the changes. I think he just made one change, didn't he?
I think it's just a change in R2, his B.
Okay.
Yeah, just make our number
right.
Two look like his. It's just a simple change there. Now, Liz, would you send Claudio a message explaining our rationale? First of all, explaining that we accepted the change he made in number two, that we had already decided that that legal analysis was not part of this of this effort is why we did not include those.
Steve Del Bianco, one quick question on that. Was it a scope with respect to that it's legal, or was our concern more that the legal analysis itself would be very speculative because we're trying to predict the way courts would rule? Also a scope issue, but slightly different.
That's a better way to say it, Steve.
That would be fine. Yeah.
So, Steve, I'm sorry. You're just saying that it would be ambiguous. The outcomes would be ambiguous. Can you say that again?
No. What I was suggesting is a simple answer like it's out of scope because it involves legal analysis could hamstring us with respect to any studies that involve legal aspects. So instead, I think it's better to tell Claudio that the analysis that's suggested in C and D would be entirely speculative in nature, speculative about what courts would do about a entirely hypothetical.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
But that, this is Tim, but that in effect then does make it, does put it out of scope. So there might be cases where in legal analysis wouldn't do that, but in this case, given the speculative result, that does actually put it out of scope.
I agree exactly, Tim. I'm just suggesting the reason it's out of scope has more to do with the speculative nature than just the fact that it's a legal analysis.
That's right.
Liz, why don't you draft something on that, on your best understanding, and send us the list after the meeting, and anybody that wants to comment, if you'd comment fairly quickly like today.
Sure.
so that we have Claudio doesn't see our submission to the council before he sees our response.
And this is Lee Elgin. I'm involved in the organization that Claudio represents, and I have occasion to interact with Claudio on a relatively regular basis. So I can I think it's a good idea that we do put together sort of a formal response, but I can speak with him too just to kind of give him a flavor as far as what the group was thinking on this.
Thanks, Lee. That's very helpful.
Okay.
Any other comments on this? Okay. Scrolling down then in the table to let's see, where am I at? We've got a bunch of okays there.
Number 13.
13, which is... Okay, hold on a second. I think I just got... Oh,
that's in Area 5.
Oh, yeah, 13 in GAC 11, huh?
Right.
Okay.
And, of course, GAC 11 we made into D of 13. So the APWG suggested revision just has
just the first three.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, correct. All right. Again, if somebody wants me to read them, I can. Otherwise, we'll just go ahead and open it up for discussion.
Steve Del Bianco, I would support APWG's reformulation.
I think basically what they've done is they've added to phishing malware and other electronic crimes. Right?
That's right.
That's the main difference. Yeah, I would support that.
Yeah, and then just replace concealed who is with private who is records, which I don't really have a problem with either.
Okay, anybody opposed to the APWG suggested revision? And then the D, GAC 11, stays the same. Okay, good. That was easy. Then going down to, I think, Area 7 and Study 8, Chris Paul suggested a revision. And he provided a rationale as well. Comments on that?
Well, this is Tim. I don't have a problem with the change. It just seems like we had that discussion around benefit financially, and for some reason we ended up at retain. I can't recall exactly.
This is Steve.
Why,
Tim.
But
Tim, this is Steve Del Bianco. I think I was the one pushing for that because I felt like benefit financially implies that they participate in the upside of money that's made in criminal activities. Whereas by saying retaining fees, we're only suggesting that they're keeping the fee revenue and not that they're participating in any other form of criminal activity.
Discussion on that?
Well, I think the point that Chris is making here is that it's not just retaining the fees from those registrations, but that if you develop a reputation as a place that where this activity is welcome, then others like it like that will flock to it. I'm wondering if there's a way to tweak our language to incorporate that. But
could we just say that some registrars normally tolerate inaccurate or falsified WHOIS data to benefit from registrations by spammers and other actors and do not face deterrent consequences for doing so. And
take out the financial.
Just leave the benefit kind of in any manner.
Thoughts on that?
One other way to, this is Steve Del Bianco, one way to really hit Chris's suggestion is that you would say that registrars knowingly tolerate inaccurate or falsified WHOIS data so as to attract and retain registration fees by spammers. I only say attract and retain because he makes that point in his scribed write-up, and it allows us to keep fees in there.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think attract gets to one of his points. So it would just be adding attract and
to attract and retain registrations.
Yeah, you don't even have to mention fees, although that wouldn't be necessarily problematic.
Yeah, I think that would make sense. Yeah, it kind of takes it right out of his own rationale.
So what do you have then on that, Liz?
I'm not sure. Is it... some registrars knowingly tolerate inaccurate or falsified WHOIS data so as to attract and retain registrations by spammers?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's it. And et cetera, yeah.
Right.
I didn't understand his last paragraph there about replacing to with do, because he didn't seem to make a change in that last phrase, so I don't know.
I noticed that, too. I wonder if
it was not to face and do not face.
Was to not face, maybe. I mean, do
something
not face.
Something like that.
I just thought it was a mistake, but...
Yeah. Right.
I'm
I think in an earlier version there was a two and two not space. But I didn't see it in the one that he commented on.
Yeah. I should have caught that too.
Yeah, so I think it would be good in this case also to go back to Chris and let him, you know, a brief explanation of our thinking, and that we tried to accommodate the points in his rationale without directly taking his revision, because we didn't want to imply that they were necessarily participating in the illegal activity or financially benefiting from that. And Liz, why don't you do the same thing? First of all, if you have more questions on the response to him, let's talk about that now, but then send a draft fairly quickly to the list, and if anybody has any suggestions, we can refine it today and then get it off to him.
Okay.
Is that all right? Do you have any? Are you okay on it, Liz?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, I think that covers the three that were suggested revisions from the submitters of the studies. So are there any other of any of the studies that anybody wants to focus on further for alternative wording? Okay. Now, then let's take kind of focus in on the total document and decide whether or not we need to make any changes to any of the notes or hypotheses that we have in total. And the first question I have in regard to that is, should we add notes to the table indicating confirmation or lack of response from study proposers? Now, those are in there right now, as Liz put them in. Now, I don't think, obviously, we don't need, I don't know if we want to keep the ones that we just acted on. I don't think we want the rationale and so forth, but let's talk about that. Generally, would it be helpful to show whether we got a response from the proposer of the study and what their response is?
But this is Lee Elgin. I don't necessarily think that level of detail is necessary or helpful, because it may lead to second-guessing whether an appropriate opportunity was given to provide a response. I mean, in my view, we should just communicate that everyone was given the opportunity to respond, and we heard from a number of the original submitters with comments, and those comments were, you know, to the extent possible, incorporated into the final document.
So what you're suggesting is a general note to that effect before the table, rather than specific notes in each of the study areas.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steve DelBianco, I'd agree with Lee, and I have a question for Liz. Liz, what was the extent of our outreach to the GAC, although we expected nothing? What was the extent of sending it along to them?
We sent Chuck sent a letter to Yannis, Bertrand, and Suzanne. And got a response, I believe, Chuck, only from Bertrand, and only to say he was off on vacation and would defer to others.
That is correct.
And some of this is not their own; it's not their fault, because the GAC presumably can't act unilaterally without having its members review and vote on.
Yeah, and they don't meet intersessionally, so I think that's right. Although, you know, some of them may have been particularly active in developing these and therefore been able to give insights about what they intended, just as other study submitters did, but we just didn't get any feedback. So
in the note, as Lee was suggesting, the note at the top that describes how we solicited confirmation or revisions, we should mention that we reached out to the GAC, but sort of acknowledged that, lacking an intersessional meeting, we received no substantive reply.
So are you suggesting adding that note, Steve?
At the top, but not on every one of the GAC items. I agree with Lee, we don't need to indicate on every item whether it was confirmed or revised. But
in addition to the note we just agreed to, per Lee's suggestion, we would add a note with regard to, a special note with regard to the GAC.
Or we could merge them into one note that deals with validating when we changed hypotheses. From the text originally there, we made an effort to consult with the original submitters, including the GAC.
Right.
And in the case of the GAC, we recognize that it may be difficult to get a response until there's an intersessional meeting.
Right.
Yeah, this is Lee. I mean, I think it's fair to add that degree of specificity with respect to the GAC.
Okay. Good. Now, what about the pearls of wisdom? Liz did some work on that. Steve Del Bianco, I don't know if you spent any time on that or not. She came to the conclusion that I just copied in the agenda here, that nothing seemed to rise to the level of relevance for the report.
Above and beyond what Steve had already called. And actually, Steve, I needed to check with you about whether that was shared just with me, your pearls.
Right, I had sent you 4 or 5 2 weeks ago.
Which I was fine with, so I'm not making a value judgment on yours. I'm just not sure. Have others seen those?
I don't think so.
That's my fault. I should have...
So there are 4 or 5 that were proposed. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was unaware of that.
Let me send that to the list, unless you have it right handy, Steve. I'll do it. If you don't, and make sure everyone could take a look at those.
Yeah, we probably should take a look.
Let me just say there was a substantive difference between the kinds of things Steve pulled out and the kinds of things I saw that were also important. Steve's were more germane to the actual, in my opinion anyway, germane to the actual decision making about do we, you know, pursue this hypothesis or not. Whereas the things that I saw that I was remembering that were important had more to do with the methodology for how you would do a study if you decided to pursue a hypothesis. What kind of study would you craft, and you know, what would it likely yield, or those kinds of things. So there was a real difference, and so I was pleased to be able to go back and check, but I didn't see anything that was appropriate for adding for council consideration.
Okay. So we'll watch for you. Let us know when you sent that, so that we can watch for it here. Now, while we're waiting for that to show up in our email boxes, Steve or Liz, either one, what is your thinking in terms of where, how we would incorporate those pearls of wisdom? Would we just incorporate them in the table associated with the particular study? Or somewhere else?
Yes, I had just 4 sentences drawn from the underlying study submissions, and I pulled them into the actual table. I'm trying to find that right now as well.
Okay.
I've got it. I'm sending it. It's aptly entitled Pearls.
Uh-huh.
And I apologize for not posting that earlier. It just put my mind until this morning. I have a slightly slow connection, satellite connection, so it may take a little while. But I have sent it.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting for that, let's talk a little bit about how we want to finalize a report. Well, let me ask the general question first of all. Any other notes that anyone thinks we should add, either within the table or before the table, that things that we should communicate?
I mean, as background, I think we should include the resolution that created this group. In this effort, the specific effort on the hypotheses, but that would just be...
And that could go into an introduction to the document, right?
Right.
And it probably would be a good idea to show the group members as well.
And I assume we'll include the notes that are in the wiki that are just above the table.
Oh, yeah. Those. I was assuming those are... We've already decided to include those.
Right.
Yeah, those are really integral to the report.
But good point. We don't want to assume anything and miss it. So, Well, let's talk a little bit about, and if somebody sees that, I'm not looking at my email because I'm looking at the agenda right now, so if somebody sees that come in, I'll flip over and pull it up, but just let us know when it shows up. In terms of finalizing the report, hopefully on this call we will pretty much agree together on what the report will include, and then Liz, you can pull it together, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to try to do it today because I'm actually on vacation for a week.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm hoping it's pretty simple.
Well,
but it should be. I mean, you know, a background statement that just explains who participated and the scope of work, and then the chart with the notes that we've discussed, you know, let me know what else you think is needed. But
sure, and I can pick up if there's anything that needs to be done after you're on vacation. I'm sure I can pick up on it. I doubt if there would be much, if anything, so... So it would be helpful, though, if all of us can take a quick look at what you send around today. Now, again, the notes to the two submitters I would put as a first priority because I want to make sure they get those.
Yeah, I'll do that too today and send that to the group separately first thing.
Okay, good. And so the goal then will be, if not today, our ideal goal will be to finalize this thing on the list today. If there's anything that needs to be done after the day, we'll handle that via the list, and Liz, I'll take the lead on that after today, so that you don't have to worry about it on your vacation.
Thank you, but I promise I won't leave you much.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I really would be surprised if you did, but I just want to set your mind at ease so that
Thank you
can enjoy your vacation from the beginning. As soon as it's ready, I'll go ahead, if we finish it today, you're welcome to send it to the council, Liz. If not, I'll go ahead and pick up the ball on that.
Okay, thank you.
And send it to the council. Okay? And we just need to get it out by tomorrow. That gives, at least we could actually get it out, I suppose, as late as Thursday, but it's really a full 7 days if we do it tomorrow. So that sounds like that shouldn't be a problem. I think the action items that I have in the agenda, we've kind of already covered those then. So we're just waiting for these pearls of wisdom. And
I think my pearl arrived.
Your pearl arrived. Mine did too. I just took a look. Thank you. Okay, I'm opening up that document.
They're in red, and at the risk of prolonging a working group and calls that have gone on quite a while, I could quickly just summarize, and the group can give a thumbs up or down as to whether to add the text.
Why don't you do that? That sounds good.
Under Area 1, Study Submission 1, that was one of mine, and what I added was that as council looks at this and it commissions somebody to study it or commissions a consultant to figure out what it would take, I think it's important to note that in any analysis of this misuse, you've got to determine whether the data was actually obtained or could have been easily obtained from a source other than who it.
Good point.
The FSAC study of spam under who is worked that in, so I understand that they understood it, but we wanted to make sure that both council and the consultants that we charge work that into their budget. That makes it more complex. Any reaction?
This is Steve. I just have a question on all these. Would these be preceded by the word note or something to make it clear that this isn't really part of the hypothesis?
Yeah, I was wondering whether to talk about that now or at the end, but let's talk about it right now because it is helpful. It certainly needs to be distinguished from the hypothesis itself.
Fine with me.
I would think now that possibly preceding it with note and leaving a line between the hypothesis, a blank line between the hypothesis and the note, just to make it clear that it's something distinct, would be a good way. Other suggestions on how to format this?
That's the right way to do it.
Okay. Does that make sense, Liz?
Yes, got it.
Okay. Any discussion on number one? Okay, Steve, go ahead.
And then number 14. 14 was the study that the WHOIS database is used only to a minor extent. That's the hypothesis, to generate spam and other such illegal activities. I added the note that ICANN's SFAC has already studied email spam arising from WHOIS, including analysis of data protection measures used by ICANN-accredited registrars, and then I included a link to it. So this one is also meant to inform our consultants that they're not having to invent this from whole cloth, that they can stand on the shoulders of work SFAC has done. This would make the cost associated with a study, number 14, presumably lower when you consider that some of the framework and structure is already in place.
Okay. Any discussion on that?
This is Steve. Well, others have studied this, too. So I think at one point Liz had compiled a bunch of links to other studies. FTC studied this. CDT studied this. Maybe we should. I mean, I agree that the SAC study is the most recent one that I know of.
Would it be easy, Liz, to reference those other studies as well? Is that something that's readily available?
Yeah, and we have it on the. I mean, we have a link to it, so we could actually add that as another link at the top. That you could say something like the council's urged to also consider where. Factual studies have previously been done.
So would that link to the other studies fit better at the beginning of before the table or with this particular one? Steve Metalis, let me let you respond first.
Well, I think the studies I'm thinking of anyway are really relevant to this particular hypothesis. They're about spam, the relationship between WHOIS and spam.
Hey, Steve DelBianco, did you start to say something?
I'd agree with Steve Metalis, and when we list that there are other studies that have been done on this particular hypothesis, it's not to imply that you don't need to test it. It's to imply that the consultants that we would hire would either summarize the work that's been done by the others and try to draw a conclusion, or they would learn from the results of the other studies in fashioning a new study.
Might be helpful to specifically state that. In particular, the fact that we're not suggesting that this means the studies don't need to be done, but rather the work that's been done should be incorporated.
Yes.
Anybody opposed to adding to Steve DelBianco's note here the reference to the other studies and the comments we just talked about? Okay. Liz, you got that?
I got the reference to the other studies. What was the last twist?
Steve, you want to take a crack at that again? Steve DelBianco.
Liz, read what you have.
I don't have any. I just have the reference to the other studies. I haven't drafted specific language yet.
Got it. So that if we're going to include two or three links to other studies, then I think you should preface it by saying that other studies have been done on this exact subject, and the results and methods of those studies should be considered in designing subsequent study in this area.
Great. Got it.
And that sentence probably is the lead-in sentence to the note, right?
Right.
And then it goes to the security and stability study and then the reference to the other studies.
Got it.
Any other comments, questions, suggestions on that? Okay. You're okay, Liz?
Yes, I am.
All right. Steve, go ahead.
The next one's with respect to study submission number 21, and I believe it was Kathy Kleiman, right? And ironically, her hypothesis was more extensive, as originally submitted, more extensive than what we had in here. And all I'd done is, in terms of referral, was to pull the rest of her hypothesis, original hypothesis, in here. And the key word there is that her other hypothesis is that the public WHOIS databases are being used and mined regularly by direct mail and related companies for their commercial benefit, compile personal data that they use, combine, sell, and distribute as part of massive lists and databases. And I'm still curious about why we never included that to begin with. And then second, when Kathy was given a chance to certify what we had come up with, she didn't seem concerned about bringing that in.
Well, she didn't respond.
She didn't respond, so we don't know.
She probably didn't see it.
I got it.
Yeah.
And in deference to the person who put the work into that hypothesis, that was part of our hypothesis, and I can't see why we would leave it out.
Well, maybe this shouldn't be a note. Maybe this should be a second hypothesis.
Well, are we now in the stage of revisiting hypotheses here?
I don't want to do that, Steve. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there.
Well, I mean, if we missed one, I mean, that was the idea of the comments. Now, obviously, Kathy didn't respond. But if we've discovered that we have missed one that was proposed, keep in mind that the council is going to decide whether to pursue any particular hypotheses further. But don't you think that if we've missed one that is significant, at least from the point of view of the submitter, that we should at least include it? Stephen, tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I don't really know, because I don't remember our discussion about this. We had her proposal in front of us. You know, I don't know that we were all.
I don't think we ever actually
gray that caused us to overlook it. So I'm just not sure. I mean, I also look at this, and I think there's a word missing from what we did approve, because we have a sentence: significant abuses would include economic, comma, economic what?
I guess abuses was what was meant.
I think something's gotten dropped there.
Yeah,
I don't know
what
is an economic abuse.
Yeah, anybody help out there?
We have to go back and look in the.
If you click on the hyperlink to the forum, you'll see Kathy's original.
You're saying the word significant got dropped?
No, something appears to be missing, Tim, after the word economic in our formulation of the hypothesis.
I mean, do we remember who on our team formulated this? Worked in that area? I don't think it was me. I hope it wasn't me, because I don't remember it.
Without going back and looking at agendas, now I can do that if it's helpful, but let's see if we can figure it out here.
Yeah, it was pretty early on.
I mean, I don't really have an objection to incorporating what Kathy put in there, but we really did change her suggestion. If you go back to look at her suggestion, I think we tried to focus it more, and maybe this is an example we ought to include. But I'm at a bit of a loss to know why we dropped it in the first place. But I know each of these was discussed.
Steve Del Bianco, I'm trying to figure out why the added one is different than the one we had, because it's the use of who is data in spam generation. Isn't that what you added? Isn't that what it's talking about?
She was more specific in the way she described the entities doing it, direct mail and related companies, and how they do it. If we all think that who is data use in spam generation is sufficient, then we don't need to bring in the rest of her phrases. I was just...
Or we could bring the rest in as a note. You know what I'm saying? Just to clarify a little bit about some of the ways it happens. Because they don't really look totally separate to me. What do others think?
Mm-hmm.
didn't see it and respond, but should we, I mean, would it, would we really lose anything if we just totally delete economic comma in our
That's what I'm beginning to wonder, if it's instead of a word we inserted, if it's a word we forgot to delete.
Who worked on that section? Was it, I'm trying to go off my memory here, was it Tim? Is Tim on the call?
Tim's on the call. He just...
That wasn't, I didn't do that one.
Yeah.
I don't believe.
I can go back.
I could be wrong.
While you guys are focusing on it, let me go back to some agendas and see if I can find out. That was in which area?
One.
Area one, so it should have been really early, so that'll help me find an agenda. Bear with me while I do that. In the meantime, I'd like, if you feel free to talk about what I just suggested. I mean, does it make sense to have two hypotheses there, or is it really, is the second one that Steve added really incorporated in the one that we had, and maybe just with a note?
Yeah, why don't we do it as a note and just say something like, you know, as an example of such abuses, the original submitter of this hypothesis suggested that public whois databases, blah, blah, blah.
That would be fine.
And we're talking about study 21, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Not in that agenda. Try another one.
I'd support that suggestion, though.
So it's a note, but it's a note that explains that the original submission included the hypothesis that.
Yeah, just as an, you know, as a very specific example of the types of more general abuse described in the hypothesis as now framed.
I'm still looking here, so I'm pulling up a bunch of different agendas.
Excuse me, this is the operator?
Yes.
May I take your name, please, sir?
Chuck Gomes.
Thank you, sir. I'll join you back into the conference. Sorry about that.
Was I out of the conference?
I think you were with us all along.
That's what I thought. You guys seem to be responding anyway, or I have a good imagination. Which is possible. Well, I don't know how good of an imagination I have. Well, I still haven't found the one at Area 1. Maybe I didn't include it in the agenda as clearly as we did that.
We might have just tackled it on the very first call.
I think probably we did, and that's why no particular person was really assigned to that. I think you're right on that, Steve. So,
and try to be rigorous about bringing forth anything that the original submitter put in. And
yeah. Well, now I was busy looking up... Let me go back to what was suggested while I was hunting in agendas there, and hear what was said there in terms of adding the note. Was it Lee? Were you the one that supported the note there?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how I phrased it, but something adding just a note saying, you know, as an example of such abuses, the original submitter of this hypothesis suggested that, and then start with, you know, the public whois databases are being used, et cetera, et cetera.
What do people think about that? Any objection to that? Adding the note, adding it as a note, as Lee has just suggested.
That's fine.
Okay. Liz, did you capture that?
Yes, I did.
Very good. Okay, Steve Del Bianco, go ahead.
There's only one more, and it's under Area 2, which is compliance with data protection law. And number 16, study submission number 16. And I added the note that because there may be significant variations in consent in different jurisdictions, that the population should be segmented by jurisdiction. This is a guide to the consultants that we would retain to do this study, so that the results would not simply be aggregated, but the results would be also disaggregated by jurisdiction that have similar consent regimes.
Any comments or questions on that?
I think that's an excellent note.
Chuck, this is Eric.
Oh, hi, Eric.
Hi. We need to identify what those similar regimes are. When I was doing P3C a decade ago, we had three basic privacy regimes, U.S., OECD, and EU. If we don't provide guidance here, it looks like we've got, you know, on the order of 100 jurisdictions, and that wouldn't be that useful.
Now, when you're talking about similar regimes, help me understand where you're at, Eric.
Well, with P3P, we were trying to express the data collection practices of data collectors. And in the European regime, the privacy right comes out of the European Treaty. In the U.S., privacy comes out of contract law or private arrangement. And then in Canada and Japan, it's sort of and New Zealand, sort of a mishmash between those two. So those are the three basic jurisdictional categories, and we're really able to deal with treating England and Holland as the same jurisdictionally, although when you actually look inside their actual implementation of the directive, there are some differences. But for the purposes of trying to come up with a mechanism for P3P to express data collection practices, which I think is equivalent to what we're trying to do here, those three buckets were enough.
So, but with regard to the two hypotheses for Study 16, and we refer to national law, and in the note we're talking about jurisdictions, are you suggesting that we need to be more specific in the hypotheses or in the note? Or is that something that should be handled when the study is developed further?
If we're providing guidance to the consultants who will be conducting the study, presuming that there is a study, I think the guidance shouldn't be that there are 100 or more different jurisdictions that are of equal interest, but that there are a smaller number of jurisdictions which are of primary interest. And I don't mean simply because of the size of the U.S. market or the size of the Chinese market, but the types of jurisdictions or the types of privacy laws, so that we have aggregation along jurisdictional similarities rather than simply dividing them up by country code.
So what you're suggesting, if I'm understanding it correctly, Eric, is that we add a second sentence to the note that points out that what you just said in the sense that it's really not a matter of going country by country, but there are there are just a few major
consent regimes.
Yeah, consent regimes. Is that right? Can you draft a sentence that could be added that we can consider there right
now?
What
if we said instead of saying population should be segmented by jurisdictions, say the population should be segmented by common legal consent regimes?
That's fine.
Is that covered, Eric?
That does it. I'm not sure what population is, but that does it for the jurisdictional issue.
I think we're talking about the study population.
Yeah, maybe we should say the results should be segmented.
Agreed.
Well, it's not just the results. It's actually your
analysis.
Study probably would target.
The analysis, that's good. How does that sound?
Good.
So why don't you read back, once you get finished there, Liz, what you
have. Sure. Because there may be significant variations in consent in different jurisdictions, the analysis should be segmented by common legal consent regimes.
Okay. Any problems with that?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. I'm glad you could join us in what we think is our last call. So, and thanks for your contribution offline, on the list as well. So, that I think covers the pearls that we had on our agenda, and unless I'm mistaken, we should have just about wrapped up our work other than what we need to do on the list today. Liz is going to prepare a couple draft messages to two of the submitters that suggested revisions that we all need to look at very quickly and just give her a response, as you know, within the next couple hours, whether or not they're okay. I would suggest, Liz, that if by let's see what by noon your time here on the Pacific Coast, if you haven't heard anything from people objecting to the messages, that you go ahead and send those out.
Okay, I'll try to send them quick.
Yeah, that'd be great. And then, she will also, and this doesn't need to happen quite so quickly, but if you can get the final document out today,
yes.
And then again, if we can respond today, Liz will react. But she's going on vacation tomorrow, so I'll pick up the ball there as needed.
Thank you so much.
And I will make sure that we send our final document to the council tomorrow. Anybody have anything else that we've forgotten?
Chuck, you did a great job with this group.
Thank you, Chuck.
It's been an easy group to work with. You guys were great. everybody picking up the ball and different things and taking the lead. Thank you very much. So.
Thank you also, Chuck.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks. And then we've got a little work to do on the list, and then we'll see how the council responds to our suggestions. Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.